You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that is not a tiger-based cult. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first let's talk about some things we have been checking out this week.
Once again from our sequestered quarantine
yes,
bunkers.
Once again. Yes.
This time it's from my very sterile Zeppelin in the atmosphere.
I was just going to say airship. I was about ready to make the airship joke. Yes. Perfect.
It's the only clean place.
Yeah.
All right, so who wants to get started on some check-ems? Do you guys have something? Because I have plenty,
I guess since we referenced Tiger King in the opening, we might as well get it out of the way.
Yeah, let's
do it. Nobody else in the world is talking about this right now. I think we really need to cover it.
This is definitely a very obscure thing that you're covering that no one else is talking about.
You heard it here first, folks. Tiger King. Netflix documentary of the year. I don't even know if it's like a good documentary, but it's definitely an entertaining one.
The cast of people, like,
they're all crazy, and nobody comes out of this looking like a good guy. It's like this bizarre peek into the world of people who own tigers, and they're all nuts.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about this one. I haven't sat down to watch it yet. I need to. But who is the Tiger King?
The Tiger King is Joe Exotic, guy from Oklahoma that's like
gay, flamboyant, gun-toting cowboy.
Yeah, white trash.
Mullet. Bleached blonde mullet.
Oh, man.
Polyamorous.
He
got two-way married to two dudes who very much seem like they're straight guys.
Don't spoil anything.
Okay. So this guy buys and sells tigers.
Yeah, and he has a zoo in Oklahoma.
Zoo with quotations.
Big cages of tigers. And you can pet them for money. He's just a huge, bizarre personality.
Like, he ran for president.
Yeah, and governor of Oklahoma.
Okay.
It's just hard to get into how, just so wacky.
Yeah.
Probably the best word you can use. Like, and all his employees are featured, and they're all like a cast of weirdos.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other name that I've heard pop up with this is some Carol somebody. Who's that?
Carol Baskin is Joe Exotic's mortal enemy.
I'll say that Carol Baskin.
Yeah.
He says that constantly.
Yeah. She is a supposed like animal rights lady who also owns a tiger zoo that apparently like
a sanctuary.
A sanctuary that rehabilitates these tigers, but honestly doesn't look all that much better than any of the other tiger zoos they show in the documentary.
Really? Okay. Wow.
And they all like super underpay or don't pay their workers, and like
raising big cats is very expensive.
Oh, I imagine. Yeah, I imagine so.
Turns out they eat a lot of food. At one point he's making pizzas at a zoo out of expired Walmart meat.
No, nobody knows that for sure.
Nobody knows for sure the pizzas were made out of those expired. He was feeding the tigers expired Walmart meat. That's how he afforded to feed them all.
Ooh.
He would get the Walmart runoff and feed it to the tigers.
Oh, wow. So he's not taking particularly good care of these tigers.
No.
Is what you're saying.
I mean, the employees, I feel like, would argue that they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like it. I mean, he's not as bad as that. What was that guy's doctor? Who was the doctor that was basically a cult leader? There's another tiger owner guy. It's Doctor something. And
what is he a doctor of?
He's a doctor of spiritual medicine.
Oh, so not a doctor. then.
Yeah, but that's what he said. He's a doctor of spiritual medicine.
Mm.
And he,
if you think he has a soul patch, he does.
Yeah, I'm picturing most of these folks with some form of wacky facial hair and head hair combos.
But this guy convinces young, attractive women to come work for him for tiger access, and he turns it into some sort of cult harem of women that maintain his tigers and sleep with him.
That's weird.
Yeah, he's probably the most gross one of the bunch, and that's saying something.
Yeah, that sounds pretty gross. Wow. So this is a documentary, or is it like a mini series? What kind of format is this show?
It's a multi-part documentary series.
Okay.
It doesn't have like a narrative thread to it, really. It just kind of follows these people around for, I don't know, a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of tells a story.
Yeah, it just kind of tells us all these people's stories in kind of a really hands-off way. There's like no narration. It's just these people's voices.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And it really lets you like come to your own conclusion, or at least like pushes you towards a conclusion without you realizing it, maybe.
Mm, okay.
It's not super heavy-handed or anything. It's really just these people talking.
Huh. All right.
And I don't know how they edit. They could have edited it in a way that makes you question a lot of things, but it seems pretty legit to me.
Yeah. Oh no, it sounds really interesting. I need to check it out because social media has been kind of blowing up with
with all this. He has a hilarious voice too. Not to interrupt you, but
oh, go what? Yeah, you're fine.
Joe Exotic, he has a hilarious voice.
Well, yeah, he sounds like gay Beetlejuice.
Like a Southern gay Beetlejuice.
Yeah, Southern gay Beetlejuice.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, yeah. I can just imagine
it. Used to do like magic shows too.
Yeah.
Of course a guy named Joe Exotic is going to do magic. Of course.
But yeah, it's worth what it, I would say it lives up to the hype. It's definitely worth. I mean, we mainlined it in like 2 days, and we're not big binge watchers.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad loved it too. Yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah, I'll have to check it out for sure. So I have a couple of quick check-ems here. Well, it's not such a quick check-em. It's a pretty beefy one here. So. I've been watching a series of films. How do I get into this?
Some art house experimental film.
Experimental films. Yeah. That's one way. Yeah. I have been watching the entire Fast and the Furious franchise. Almost made it to the end of every single one before recording this week. There was one film, the 8th movie in the current 9 or maybe 12 movies in the series that I haven't gotten a chance to get to. Did not get to 12. Yeah, somewhere in there. Well, because there are a couple of films that are questionable whether or not they are actually part of the Fast and the Furious franchise. But I did not get to Fate of the Furious, the 8th movie in the series. So, yeah, it's actually kind of fascinating going back and watching all these movies. I had never really watched any of these. The only movie in this series that I had watched prior to this go through was Fast and the Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw, which stars The Rock and Jason Statham and is the furthest thing from a racing movie. It's kind of like espionage, buddy cop, James Bond, two dueling James Bonds who hate each other. That's kind of what that movie is. And there's a little bit of a focus on cars, but not really so much of any kind of focus. And I was really curious about, okay, how did they go from street racing movie to super espionage starring The Rock? And it was a slow transformation of the series. It's kind of fascinating. Like, and the Vin Diesel's always in these movies, he plays Dom Toretto, street racer and petty thief who cares about fast cars and Michelle Rodriguez and family.
Of course.
If there's one thing about this movie,
about family.
This movie is about family. And so the first movie, it's basically Point Break, but with cards instead of surfing. The whole thing is Paul Walker's character is an undercover cop who is trying to get in with Toretto's gang of street racers because someone is robbing DVD players off of the back of 16 wheelers. That's it. That's the movie. That's the entire crux of the movie is Dom Toretto is stealing CD players and DVD players out of the back of 16 wheelers by doing sick car stunts. And that one's fine. Yeah, it's interestingly shot. There are some thematics that happen one movie after the other, basically at the climax of the race or heist or what have you. They press the NOS button and go fast, and that's the big trick that everybody does. Everybody presses the go fast button, and then they go fast.
And furious. They furiously press the NOS button to go fast.
There's actually a point where they're doing some kind of crazy heist in 5 or 6, and rapper Ludacris says, "Yeah, I don't know how we're going to be able to go fast with this caper." And Dom Toretto responds, "Sometimes it's not about going fast." And at that point, I audibly out loud said, "It's time to go furious."
How badly do they start to like mesh together and like become just one movie?
Well, here's the thing. I would say these are all pretty fresh still in my mind. So there are bits and pieces that I can still kind of tell you. And there are highlights that I could tell you. Okay, 4 is the one where Gal Gadot's a bad guy. And 5 is the one where Gal Gadot's a good guy. And 6 is the one where they go to Abu Dhabi and steal a car that goes 420 miles per hour out of the top of a skyscraper.
The fastest and most furious of all cars.
The fastest and most furious. Yeah. So, I mean, I could tell you highlights, but I would say between 4, 5, 6, that's kind of where they all start to mesh together. And that's where it actually goes from street racing movie to heist movie. And somehow Dom and his team of outlaws become good buddy pals with Hobbs, AKA The Rock, who was the bad guy in 5 because they were being chased by the government. But then the government had to get criminals to do crimes better than the bad guys in 6, I think. I think, yeah. So 1, 2 and Tokyo Drift are basically racing movies. There's a little bit of just the barest points of plot, but the first 3 movies are racing movies. However, Tokyo Drift isn't the 3rd one in the movie series. It comes after number 6. So it's the 3rd movie is the 7th movie.
That's which the is, only one I've ever seen. I've seen 5 minutes of Tokyo Drift.
Okay. Well, you've only seen 5 minutes of Tokyo Drift. Okay. Okay. Well, the lead in Tokyo Drift sucks, and it's a shame that he's going to be coming back for Fate of the Furious and F9, which is not going to be the end of the series because Dom, I almost called him Dom, Vin Diesel has said that he wants 10. He wants to do 10. But yeah, it's weird, and it's weird to watch kind of how the movies, again, how they morph from racing movies to heist movies. There are also short films that fit into there, some that don't mean anything to the series. Like there is one called The Turbocharged Prelude to Too Fast, Too Furious. That's like 6 minutes long, and it means nothing. You don't have to watch it. But there is a 20-minute short film that happens between Too Fast and Too Furious and Fast 4, you know, the 3rd film in the series, that is absolutely key and gets referenced back to in Fast 6. Also, one of the characters gets amnesia for a while. This series is wild. It's absolutely wild, and I never thought I would say that I would enjoy watching a Fast and the Furious movie, and Too Fast, Too Furious, Tokyo Drift, those are bad. Don't watch them. They're bad. I don't like them. But when they stopped being about car racing and putting super cool, super engines in American muscle cars versus import cars or something, they get good. It almost becomes like Ocean's 11, but not classy.
Dirty Oceans.
It's kind of like Dirty Oceans.
And there's the episode title.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But but no, they're actually pretty interesting. Now in Fast 8, haven't gotten through that one yet. Got about 10 minutes into that one. Got to the point where they introduced Charlize Theron's character. By the way, she's in the movie, and it seems like it's going to be excellent. Apparently in Fast 9, John Cena is going to be in it as Dom Toretto's long-lost younger brother, who has never been mentioned up until this point, but is basically evil Dom Toretto. It's wild.
What if Charlize Theron was playing Eileen Wuornos?
I don't know who that is.
The serial killer from Monster, that she got an Oscar for, I think.
Oh, yes. No, she's definitely not, because she's like she looks like Charlize Theron. With dreadlocks, actually. It's interesting. Yeah. But no, Kurt Russell is in at least multiples of these films.
Nice.
Yeah, Jordan and I have been watching them together, and we're thinking at this point they could reference any racing or heist-type movie and say that it's in the same universe as Fast and the Furious at this point, because there was actually another movie called Better Luck Tomorrow. It was Justin Lin, the guy who directed Aquaman, and a handful of these movies. His first film about Chinese-American high school students that steal from a bank because they're super smart. There is a minor character in that movie that is a major character in Fast 4, Fast 5, Fast 6, dies in Tokyo Drift, and is resurrected somehow in Fast and the Furious 9. So it is retroactively part of the series, and we were talking. All it would take is for Nicolas Cage to show up as his character from Gone in 60 Seconds. Just for one scene, because it is thematically and tonally in the same boat as these movies. It's wild. It's absolutely wild.
Oh, we have a Nicolas Cage related check him out.
Yeah, let's hear it.
We watched Mandy.
Oh, you did? What'd you think?
And it was good.
It's like, something, isn't it?
Yeah. There's so many things about it that like check off a list of awesome things I'd want to see in a movie.
Uh-huh.
But it is also so plodding at the same time.
It is.
It is,
yes.
Not a fast moving film.
Oh no,
but,
no.
But
visually it's
enough. Yeah, it's very visually interesting, and it has enough cool stuff in it that I can't say that I didn't like it. I mean, there's a chainsaw fight. There's heavy metal inspired animation sequences. There's
that crazy axe he has. Cage.
Yeah, Nick Cage screaming. There's a cheddar goblin.
Yeah, the cheddar goblin is pretty great.
It's the best part.
Yeah.
It's honestly the best part.
Yeah. What'd you think of that 5-minute scene where it's just Nick Cage drinking and yelling and screaming, and that's all it is?
That was some prime Nick Cage.
It was.
That's
yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
In his underwear, too. He's in his underwear in a bathroom.
Uh-huh. Yep, sure is.
Just having a yell.
Yeah. Yeah. From what I understand, the guy who made the Cheddar Goblin did Too Many Cooks. I think it was the guy that did Too Many Cooks.
Yeah.
Did the Cheddar Goblin commercial.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, Mandy it's something else.
I'd have to say, of the two Nick Cage movies we've watched recently, I liked The Color Out of Space better.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But Mandy was pretty good.
Yeah.
You might have been a little too tired for it, too.
Yeah, that's true. No, I just wish it moved faster.
Yeah.
It's a lot like the other guy. The director did another movie. I think it's called Beyond the Black Rainbow.
And that one's really slow as well. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot like that tonally. Mm-hmm.
It just kind of sucks because, like, visually it's really, really interesting and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's just so slow.
Yeah, I just can't get into his particular way of filming stuff, I guess. I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Forever.
Yeah, but no, I just liked it for the visuals and that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's by no means bad. It marinates in every scene for about 5 minutes longer than it needs to, I think.
it needs a good editor to come in and kind of tighten it up a little bit. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, I have one other check-em here. I watched, on top of nearly all the Fast and the Furious movies, I watched the first three movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, and Iron Man 2. I visit Iron Man every once in a while. Still holds up. Excellent movie. Incredible Hulk is good. I don't know if... It's a weird one, because I'm not sure if Edward Norton would have worked with the way the subsequent Marvel Cinematic Universe movies went. I don't know. He was a great Bruce Banner for that movie, but I don't know if him sticking around would have been a smart choice. And on the flip side, I don't know if Mark Ruffalo would have been right for the movie The Incredible Hulk. It's almost like two different characters, which is kind of weird. But that one's still pretty enjoyable. And Iron Man 2, it was maybe within the last 20 minutes of the movies where I started enjoying it. I forgot how, you want to talk about kind of a slow plotting movie where not a whole lot of things happen. Iron Man 2 is that. I did not enjoy it. I mean, it has a great ending.
They should go back and CG Mark Ruffalo into the original Incredible Hulk movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because that would be ridiculous looking.
Well, I forgot they had left the Abomination alive at the end of that movie. Like, he's still breathing at the end of Incredible Hulk. And I thought that was a lot of superhero movies, especially earlier ones, they kind of had the trope of, oh, gets to the end of the movie, we kill the bad guy. And that was kind of a throwback to the 89 Batman. You know, Ironmonger dies at the end of Iron Man 1, and Nick Nolte dies at the end of Iron Man 2. I always thought, Abomination died at the end of Incredible Hulk. And he's not. He's just taken into custody by the U.S. government. So it could set that up if they ever wanted to do something with that character again. I don't know if they ever will, but they could set that up. And that was kind of surprising to me. I'm interested to see how the first Thor holds up now that we live in a world where Thor Ragnarok exists. I'm not sure if Thor 1 is going to quite do it for me the way it did the first time around. We'll have to wait and see. I'll let you know next week.
I always liked the original Thor. I know it critically didn't do quite as well as the other ones, but I always had a soft spot for it.
I liked Thor 1. I didn't like Thor 2, and I loved Thor Ragnarok. That's kind of how it went before. But then again, I haven't seen the first Thor in maybe 10 years. So, or maybe, you know, handful multiples of years. So who knows?
It's so crazy that the MCU has been around for this long.
It really is. Yeah. It's kind of, yeah. It's, if I think about it too long, I start to get panicky.
My bones are dust.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we'll get into some news.
That was Working in the Coal Mine by Devo. Maybe it should be the Working from Home Mine.
Yeah, a lot of that going on.
I'm staying current there with my references.
Oh, yeah. Putting a big old timestamp on this one. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? People working from home?
All right. Hey, before we get into some news, you guys mentioned you had one more thing you wanted to check out.
Oh, yeah. We watched another movie. We got that 30-day Shudder trial that you can get that they're giving out because of the weird times that we are living in.
Yeah.
And we watched a movie called Patchwork, which is about three women get abducted by a mad scientist and all their body parts get stitched together.
Oh,
and
okay.
They're all conscious inside one body and have to, like, deal with each other while living in this patchwork.
Trying to figure out how this happened and who did it.
Yeah. All while dealing with each other's personalities in the same body.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's pretty funny. It's a pretty light horror movie with some weird gore, but, like, overall, it's very Reanimator.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Now I'm on board.
There's even, Yeah, there's even a special thanks to Stuart Gordon at the end.
Oh, right on.
In the credits.
Excellent.
So it's very much in that vein of horror movie. The special effects are, well, not the special effects, the acting is good on the, I don't know which of the three women is playing the composite, sure. But they're like awkward, like jerky movements as they're walking around and stuff. Like, I guess it's like mime work.
Oh,
more than
really?
Anything. It's like really, it's really good.
Oh, wow. No, that sounds awesome.
And it tells the story in an interesting way. It's split into parts and it goes back into the, like, what each woman did on that night to lead up to them getting stitched together. And it tells them in out of order and has some interesting twists. And overall, it's a pretty good movie.
Interesting. Yeah. No, that sounds really cool.
For being a relatively low budget, like...
Yeah, it was pretty low budget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Corny, horror-inspired movie is pretty solid.
Yeah.
Now, is it a... There's a great joke with a cat owl.
Yeah, don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
There's a cat owl.
Yeah. Oh,
nice. Is this a relatively new movie, or is it kind of older? When was it released?
Just a couple of years ago, I think.
Yeah, it's just a couple years old.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Cool.
Even the stuff that the mad scientist injects in them looks exactly like Herbert West's reagent
Reanimator. The bright glowing green.
Familiar.
What?
One of the lab assistants looked familiar.
Huh.
I can't place them.
And there's an extended Castlevania reference. They just show a guy playing it for 2 minutes.
Really? Huh.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
No, sounds like it. That sounds awesome.
I would recommend the Shudder trial.
Yeah.
Or just in general Shudder. I wouldn't be surprised if I end up keeping it.
Oh, yeah.
I guess we should probably get into the news.
Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and get into some news. what do we want to start with today? We have some delays of things. We've got some rumors. What are you feeling? What are you feeling today?
Let's dip into those hot Mario rumors flying around.
Rumor mill.
Rumor mill's really, really brewing up some Mario related rumors.
A couple days ago, there was a rumor flying around that sometime this year, Nintendo is going to release remasters of a handful of their classic Mario games.
Yeah. It looks like, according to a Eurogamer article, it's going to be Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and Mario Galaxy are going to get a remaster on the Switch.
That's fantastic, if true.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's been reporting, it's been on like every site, so it feels like there's got to be at least some sort of something behind this.
Either that or everyone is scrounging so much for any kind of news that's not... you know, about the troubles that this thing is just blowing out of proportion. But if it seems fairly substantiated, which is really interesting.
Yeah, I heard somewhere that the guy that this was sourced from is the guy that also said that Retro Studios was working on a Star Fox racing game, which that never really was a thing. But
okay.
But I hope it's true, darn it.
I do, too. Do you think that if this happens and it is successful, do you think we would see more GameCube and 64 games remastered for the Switch?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I think they should get as much stuff on there as they can. It'll be interesting to see how much they change something like Mario 64 that is more dated than Sunshine or Galaxy.
I mean, if anything, they'll take the Mario 64, I forget what they called the port when they moved it to the 3DS.
I think it was just 64DS.
Okay. Yeah, I would say that they would probably take that version.
Incredible to play that with an actual control stick and not a D-pad.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Now, along with
that was the main problem with that port.
yeah. Now, along with that, they also had some reports of a new game, a new Paper Mario game. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's something about a new Paper Mario, but...
And that's pretty cool.
Last couple of Paper Mario games have been not good, so hopefully they would get this one right.
Well, here's hoping. But But no, that's really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing if any of these Mario rumors are, you know, the real deal.
As much as they've been reported on, Nintendo probably should say something sooner than later.
Yeah. I know Nintendo just recently did a micro direct or a mini direct. I would hope that if they wanted to put out something official, they would do something similar.
Yeah, the rumor said that this was going to be part of their E3 presentation, but there is no E3 now.
Yeah.
They could probably just do this whenever they want.
I suppose so. When would have E3 hit if it were still going on?
June?
Would have been June? Okay. So
yeah.
Okay, so my prediction is by June we will know more about this. They will absolutely have something out by E3-esque time, I guess.
When they said it was remasters, I was hoping they were going to remake like the original trilogy and just make them look real nice.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm okay with the 3D ones. Honestly, they could just remake them in the Odyssey engine, and that would be good.
Yeah, no, that would be fantastic, for sure.
I think Odyssey is the only 3D one I've actually really played.
Huh, well, then you're in for a treat when it comes out. Because it'll be like having three new Mario games for you.
I never had a 64.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in Sunshine that they could stand to polish up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Let's move on from some rumors and get to some more, like, announced things. So they announced that The Simpsons on Disney Plus will be in their original standard definition forms by as early as June. Is that correct?
Yeah, which that's good. People can stop complaining about it.
Well, I'll tell you what, honest truth, I haven't watched The Simpsons on Disney Plus because of it. I tried watching the first episode, the Christmas special, and it was so stretched out and weird looking that it wasn't right. So
yeah, it's not great.
No. I mean, I'm not mad enough to go on social media and complain to the ether, scream into the void about it. But yeah, I mean, it has kept me from enjoying the series. And those early seasons were some of the best episodes. And it would be nice to see them the way God intended in standard definition.
Some of those like first season episodes are really visually interesting too, because they're a lot looser and just different than the later seasons are.
Yeah, nothing's on model, and that's kind of part of the charm of that first season.
Yeah, so it will be nice to see them how they're meant to be seen, and you can get all the little jokes in there that were cut off.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Have you seen Goof Troop on Disney Plus?
I haven't, no.
They had to reanimate, like, one of the opening shots of, like, Goofy and Max high-fiving, because there was no way it could be trimmed and keep the logo in the background, and it looks bizarre.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, it's one of those things, like, once you see it, you won't be able to unsee it, because it looks like flash animation in the middle of your cell and painted, like, super high-def-looking cartoon.
Oh, that is weird. Yeah, well, I know what I'm doing this evening. I'm going to freak myself out by watching some Goof Troop.
Like, the rest of it is, like, a really good transfer. Like, you can see every brush stroke and hair on every cell. Like, it's ridiculous. But they had to fix that one scene.
Wow. Well, that's what you get for updating every single thing to HD, I suppose. Yeah. The growing pains of up-converting.
Yeah. I'm surprised they even cared. Yeah.
Especially for a show like Goof Troop, which, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. There is a subsection of people that really, really was into Goof Troop, but like, as far as the...
I thought you were going to say Pete's wife.
Well, I stopped myself from saying Pete's wife. but yeah, like, as far as the Disney After School afternoon cartoons went, Goof Troop, I never thought was really the standout. I always thought it was like Darkwing Duck, DuckTales... Like the duck related ones.
I was gonna say all duck related.
Yeah.
Like everybody liked Goof Troop, but nobody like nostalgia's back for Goof Troop for some reason. I don't know what it is.
Unless it's the Goof Troop movie, a Goofy movie. People seem to nostalgia for that one a lot, but the way Max and Goofy interact in that movie is so different from the way they interact on the show. It's almost like two different things.
The movie's a little more real, I think. Yeah. They're more raw emotion in that than there is in the animated series.
Yeah. I don't know. I just see
that's
a bunch
enough
of...
enough about Goof Troop.
Yeah, yeah. Now let's talk about Tailspin.
I don't remember anything about Tailspin, despite watching it religiously as a child.
There is one scene from one episode of Tailspin that I remember. So, okay, so Tailspin, everyone from the Jungle Book were placed onto an island and given a pontoon boat delivery service, I guess? And
Baloo and the Sky Pirates, basically.
Kinda, yeah. And
it was it's that Ghibli movie, Porco Rosso, it's Baloo.
Right, yeah. but there was one episode where, so King Louis the orangutan was Baloo's boss and like best friend on the show. And there was something about him getting hit on the head or getting knocked unconscious and something like that. And he hated pizza with anchovies. And when he got hit in the head, he imagined everyone looked like anchovies and would like try to go after them and try to, I don't know, attack them or eat them or throw them out. I don't remember that part. I just remember, I have a vivid memory picture in my head of of Louis in a Hawaiian shirt screaming about anchovies. That's the only thing about Tailspin I remember. So a glimpse into what my brain's like sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning. I wake up screaming anchovies. So, so some more announcements of things. I guess Deadpool is going to be in Fortnite, which, okay, whatever. I'm surprised it took this long, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't do it when Fortnite was relevant.
Now, the question is, do you think Deadpool within the game will make a joke about how he thought he was going to be in when it was more relevant? Like, will he reference how much it's kind of past its prime?
He should, but probably won't. Yeah. I'm surprised. Like, why wasn't he in it when his movie came out?
Because his movie was Fortnite. Rated R. It's not for children.
That's true.
Yeah, that's what kills me. Why would they put... He's not kid-friendly.
It's true.
Unless this is Disney Marvel, their first attempt to try to sand off the rough edges of Deadpool, because it's not on the docket, but I have seen and heard a couple of rumors, and it's totally unsubstantiated at this point, that they're going to introduce Deadpool back into the MCU with Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool and have him be as self-referential as he is in the other, as Deadpool 1 and 2, but not be as
not
raw.
Not be a nasty boy.
Not be a nasty boy.
Not be a wild, nasty boy.
From what I understand, they are, Disney took a very keen interest in how well the night before Deadpool re-edit of Deadpool 2, when they re-edited it for the Christmas break this past year, they were very keen in seeing how well that did, because they chopped that R-rated movie down to PG-13, a heavy PG-13, which, let's face it, that's where the most of the Marvel movies are at this point anyway.
Yeah.
So
remember going to movies?
Yeah, I remember when we could go to movies. Yeah.
Did you remember being in public?
Yeah. Remember restaurants?
Yeah.
That you could go inside?
Oh, you mean drive-thrus. Drive-thrus, right? Just drive-thrus and nothing else?
You could get out of your car and go inside the restaurant and
blasphemy.
Sit down and eat your food there.
Absolute nonsense.
I went to Prospect to get the mail out of my P.O. box there, and it felt weird.
Yeah.
It felt weird to go that far.
Yeah.
I had to put gas in my car for 2 weeks.
Same here. But let's move on to a news topic before we get too much deeper into that. Hey, tell me about Solar Opposites.
Solar Opposites is a new show by Rick and Morty co-creator Justin Roiland about aliens who live among us. Mm-hmm. And it's just Rick and Morty again.
I was going to say, I was going to I was trying to formulate a big, long way of talking about it in my head about how, yeah, we have one alien that is way smarter than everybody else and make sure that everybody knows that he is the smartest one. And then there is a dumb alien that everyone goes, oh, you dumb idiot. Yeah, it's Rick and Morty. It's just Rick and Morty jokes.
Yeah, like I watched the trailer and I don't know what I expected. Like it.
Anything different?
There is one alien that is clearly just exactly Rick.
And there's one that's Jerry.
Yeah. It's like he wanted to make Rick and Morty without Dan Harmon there to kill the buzz.
Yeah, that seems kind of likely. Yeah.
And I don't think a Rick and Morty without Dan Harmon there to rein in Roiland would be any good.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I mean, I like Roiland and I think he's a funny dude, but he also is very much like he's got one thing he does.
Yeah. It seems like every episode of this show is going to be, hey, I'm Pickle Rick, but an alien.
Yeah.
I'm Alien Rick. Look at me.
He turns himself into a pickle, calls himself Pickle Rick. That meme kills me for some reason. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that in other Rick and Morty related news, they did announce that the back half of the last season is coming out in, I think, May.
Oh, okay, cool. That's fine.
Yeah, and the trailer for that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Chuckled.
Yeah.
Is this the last season or is it just the most recent season? Is there going to be more after this or what's up with that?
They're locked down for like 70 episodes. So there's always going to be more.
Buckle up,
kids, because Rick and Morty is here to stay.
100yearsrickandmorty.com.
Yeah, he wasn't kidding. That's basically what happened.
He wasn't kidding. That first episode kind of, it foretold the future. 100 years.
The trailer uses, the boys are back in town, so that's pretty cool.
Hey, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
See, that could have been the song if I would have remembered
it. I was just thinking that as well. Oh, well, next week. I mean, we'll forget by this time next week, but just like the next movie, and no, I haven't seen that as Unbreakable, the next song for next week is The Boys Are Back in Town.
I wish there was more to say about Solar Opposites, but they're really, it doesn't even look different. It's the exact same art style.
It is. It really, really is. I think that was the most shocking thing to me, was that it was so clearly just the same thing again. Like, wow.
Hire a different designer, at least.
Like, do something. Yeah.
I've noticed that any chance Rick and Morty gets to sell out and like make an ad for something, they will do it.
Oh, yeah. They'll do. Oh, yeah.
There's an ad for some like AT&T smart device that has Rick in it.
Really? Like,
yeah.
But you know what? Maybe that's part of the joke, is that they're willing to sell out and do whatever because, why not? Everyone gets it that we're being ironic, but really we're just lining our pockets with money.
Yeah, that's really what it is. It's supposed to be wink, wink, but it's like, but you're still doing it though.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that time like that time they did the Fallout 76 live stream where they animated the two of them like live playing 76 and watching it crumble around them.
Yeah, and it was real weird.
It was weird, yeah. Speaking of which, go ahead.
The Death Stranding ads that they did.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, there was Fallout 76 news.
Yeah, yeah.
While we're talking about that.
Real quick one, yeah.
The big patch that adds the game into the game.
Yeah.
That puts NPCs back in the wasteland and like, sounds like gives you something actually to do.
Mm-hmm.
Got delayed by a week because of the event that we're all living through.
Yeah.
But yeah, to deal with all of Bethesda's people working from home, they pushed it back a week, which has already been pushed back once. So
now, okay, we don't have much time left, but I want to get your honest opinion. Is there any chance at all that this patch is going to come out and not be a giant dumpster fire like everything else that has happened in Fallout 76?
I think it pretty much has to.
Yeah.
Like they have to do a good job, or they'll have to write off the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like if they can't fix it with this, they've like dug their own grave.
I'm just curious.
Fallout 76.
Yeah, it's really kind of riding on this one. Yeah, because like they've had so many opportunities to completely screw it up. They're down to the last little bit of goodwill that Bethesda can muster at this point.
Yeah, I know they can do it. Like they've made great games in the past. It's just, will they do it?
Well, they've never made a kind of MMO kind of thing like they did with this one. And I don't know.
I mean, look at Final Fantasy 14 is a different publisher, but when Final Fantasy 14 came out, the online one, right? 14?
Yeah, it's the online one.
It was absolute trash, and they had to completely start it over again, and now it's a great game.
And they might have to do that with 76. And that's kind of what this patch is, right? It's basically starting it over almost.
Yeah, I mean, there's no human NPCs in all of the current version of the game, and this puts them in. It sounds like it's going to roll it back towards like a more traditional Fallout experience, except other people are there, which sounds more appealing than what we got, at least.
It does, yeah. So, well, we'll find out here in another week or two whether we have to reset the clock on Fallout 76 news or whatnot, but we'll see what happens. All right, and hey, with that, I think we've hit time for the week. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com. You can also check us out on all of our social medias, whether that be Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram, by looking at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
And you can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline, and the number is not in front of me.
It is 586-372-8020. Cody, what should they call in and talk to us about?
Call in and tell us about your favorite Rick and Morty episode.
It's going to be Pickle Rick.
You can also find all of our back episodes on places where you can find fine podcasts like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. And lastly, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverloadnow. If you like the show and you want to help support us, you can head over there and check out ways you can help us out. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Wash your hands.